Down through the ages, deep thinkers have spent countless hours contemplating the origin of life. The beginning of life is a mystery. Well, the same could be said of our future. Historians have studied the past. Philosophers have examined our times. But the future is a complete mystery. Today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll reminds us that the book of Revelation gives us a glimpse into the future. The forecast for those who love God is comforting, but the prospects for those who deny God are frightening. Just before the message begins, Chuck leads us in prayer.
In our day of ease and comfort, our Father, where many live their lives bored and spoiled, we come upon a scene like this and we're chagrined. It's frightening to read sobering settings like this one. But it's all part of your plan, and it is as real before us on the page of this ancient book of prophecy. It is as real as if it has begun to transpire. Sober us with the fact, our Father, that there are many, in fact most, who have never come to faith and tragically don't even realize there's a Savior available who has paid the price for their sins in full. Give us from this not simply a new respect for you, but an urgency for those who've never met your Son. We hear more truth this day than most will hear in their lifetime. We have a Bible that's marked where most have never read the first verse of any part of the Bible. We concern ourselves with these plans you have set in your word for the future, and most simply think they die like an animal. To move from nothing into nothing. How wrong. I'm grateful, Father, today for the number of children you touched and nurtured during these days of this week past. Thank you for each little life, each mind, each set of hands and feet and fingers and each will, each one gifted, shaped, and prescribed by you from the womb, gifted to their families to be nurtured and loved and directed and disciplined, and then released to live the life you have for them to live. May this week make a difference in their lives and in the lives of the many who served faithfully to teach them and to encourage them and to love them and to laugh with them and to lead them to Christ. What a harvest in just one week. Our Father, we thank you for this land in which we live, for our flag, for our women and men who wear uniforms, for those who serve in city and state government. Thank you for those who name the name of Christ, whose influence is felt through their lives and their words and their thoughts and their decisions. Thank you for those who sit on the bench making decisions for other lives that are in trouble. We pray that you will, our Father, place your people in strategic locations that they might fill the role of your ambassador in that position. And our Father, we pray that you will open our eyes and ears and hearts, even as you did those junior hires in their lives in Colorado. Thank you for touching them and teaching them, helping to shape them further. Watch over them and us as we turn to your word and discover new truth that replaces our ignorance a knowledge that's necessary for living well. May we see what's here, not read into it what is not here, not miss what is implied. May we take it to heart. May we be more than fascinated by prophecy. May we be challenged by these words. Now, these are our gifts to you, our Father. And they're not ours originally. You've given them to us by giving us health, our occupation, by allowing us to earn a living, and by using now these gifts for your purpose. We pray that you will speed them on their way to serve the reasons for which we give them, that the name of Christ, the Word of God, the mission of this church, the vision you have for us as a people to reach our neighborhood, our region, our city, our state, our world. That's why we give our gifts today. In the name of Christ, all of us pray. Everyone said, Amen.
You're listening to Insight for Living. To dig deeper into the book of Revelation with Chuck Swindoll, be sure to download his Searching the Scriptures Bible Studies by going to insight.org/studies. Chuck calls today's message, More Seals Broken, More Lives Shaken and Taken.
As that tribulation era begins, there will be one who will stand and announce himself as having come back from the dead, and that will attract attention. He will sign treaties and peace pacts, and he will promise the moon as he solves the Arab-Israeli conflict, and all kinds of things will happen as a result, even miraculous things, as he has power from Satan himself, and people will follow him by the hordes. They will follow him. His promise of peace will come like the rider on the white horse. Peace when there is no peace. Verse 6, and you will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not frightened, for these things must take place, but that is not yet the consummation of all things. Now we have the rider of the red horse, remember? The one who came with the sword in the days of assassination and warfare and bloodshed, bloody conquest will follow the bloodless promise of peace. And he's describing the opening of the second seal in verses 6 and 7. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. It won't be a local war. It will be a worldwide series of conflicts, and people will die in various places. He adds the opening of the third seal. Remember that? The black horse and the rider representing famine, poverty. There will be times of famines. And then just with the word earthquakes and a few words that follow, he refers to the fourth seal, the rider of the ashen or the pale horse of death. There will be natural phenomena that will go out of control, and there will be massive deaths. In fact, we will see again in a moment in Revelation 6, a fourth of the earth's population will perish. But he says all these things are merely the beginning of birth pangs. Gets us through halfway through this tribulation era. Right in the middle, he refers in verse 15, when you see the abomination of desolation. Seems a strange way to title someone. Might help if I give you this, the abomination who causes desolation. It would clarify. There will be one who will step on the scene. He'll be the same as at first, but his nature will have changed, and he will turn against the ones he signed the peace pacts with. This is not the first time in history that's happened, but this will impact the world, and desolation will follow. He describes in verse 9 the opening of the fifth seal, as we will see in a moment. Then they will deliver you to tribulation and will kill you, and you will be hated by all nations because of my name. It's a picture of martyrdom and the vengeance that will follow upon the murderers of the martyrs. And then there's the sixth seal down in verse 29 of chapter 24 of Matthew. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. Stars will fall from the sky and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Now, Revelation 6. You recall where we've been? The white horse representing a bloodless conquest, verses 1 and 2. A bloody warfare in verses 3 and 4. On the red horse, the black horse is famine and poverty and death. The ashen horse, the color of a cadaver, a corpse. Death comes with Hades, and authority is given, verse 8, was given to them over a fourth of the earth. Verse 9, we follow along with the seals as they are broken, the judgments as they unfold. When the Lamb, remember the Lamb is the only one qualified to take the scroll, and he now breaks the fifth seal. I saw underneath the altar the souls of those who had been slain. Why were they slain? Because of the word of God, because of the testimony which they had maintained. These are believers. These are Christian people. These are followers of Jesus who love the word of God, and their testimony about him as well as of his change in their lives. They have maintained that, and they've been killed. And they are crying out with a loud voice. It's almost as if they are praying for vengeance while they are in heaven. Whether it's prayer or not is immaterial. The point is they are calling for vengeance. And they cried out with a loud voice, "How long, O Lord, holy and true?" Reminding him of his purity and his justice, his righteousness. How long, Lord, will you wait to bring vengeance? How long will you refrain from judging and avenging our blood on those who dwell on the earth? They're anxious now that they are in the presence of the Lord. They want vindication for their lives having been taken. Lord, take the lives of those who took us from this earth. And the Lord says, wait. There was given to each of them a white robe. It's a beautiful reward for their lives lived in such jeopardy and danger and finally to the point of death. And they were told that they should rest a little while longer. So they are now rewarded for their work. God honors them for being in his presence, having died the ultimate death. And he says, wait a little longer until the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who were to be killed, even as they had been, would be completed also. It's a little chilling, isn't it? What's he saying? There are more yet to be martyred. There will be others who will follow in your train. Hold your place here and look at Revelation 13, which is probably the most complete chapter on this creature called the beast, or as John describes him in his letters, Antichrist. Revelation 13, verse 13, referring to the right-hand man of the Antichrist, called the false prophet. He performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down out of heaven to the earth in the presence of men. He gets his power, of course, from Satan himself. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth because of the signs which it was given him to perform in the presence of the beast, meaning the Antichrist, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who had the wound of the sword and has come to life. Watch closely. And it was given to him to give breath to the image. So this idol comes to life, to the image of the beast, so that the image of the beast would even speak and cause as many as do not worship the image of the beast to be killed. And he causes all, the small and the great, the rich and the poor, the free and the slaves, to be given a mark on their right hand or on their forehead. He provides that no one will be able to buy or to sell except the one who has the mark, either the name of the beast or the number of his name. And the 18th verse ends with 666. We've read a lot about this. You've heard a lot about this. This obviously is a form of, if you will, future credit, where if you hope to do business, sell and buy, be able to purchase your groceries, be able to have a say or a hand in the economy of the day, you need this mark that comes from the one leading the whole world system. Those who do not have such a mark will be taken. Look at Revelation 20, verse 4. Then we'll go back to the sixth chapter. Revelation 20, verse 4. John looks yet future, beyond all of that. Then I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was given to them. And I saw the souls. Here are martyrs again. I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of their testimony of Jesus and because of the word of God. Does that sound familiar? You just read those words in Revelation chapter 6, verse 9, the testimony and the word of God, 9, 10, 11. Those who had not worshiped the beast or his image, those who had not received the mark on their forehead and on their hand. And these martyrs came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. We need to pause here out of honor for those who have been martyred. We who travel and have had the privilege of traveling to beyond our shores often stand before steel and bronze statues in honor of certain martyrs. Sometimes the statues are in honor of a large group of those who paid the ultimate price. Sometimes there are trees that have been planted in their names, and trees on a, there's a plaque that's been attached or fixed to the trunk of the tree in honor of that or those people. I've seen gigantic rocks that serve as rugged, mute reminders of lives that have lived and passed. Grave markers, gray slate stones across portions of England, Scotland, lands like Germany and Switzerland, places in even the Far East, where those who followed the name of Christ paid the price. Nations will give an answer for martyring these great men and women. I thought of it when I read the name Todd Beamer, who loved the Lord Jesus Christ, had been raised to serve him, and while on that third plane, that fourth plane that went down in the countryside of Pennsylvania, saving that from being yet another a missile of murder, I thought of him. Ever known one who was a martyr? Some given their lives in the Philippines, who are missionaries. China will give an answer for the millions they have killed. And Iran and Iraq, they called believers in Christ infidels. The beast will call them the ultimate infidels. You'll see that they're killed. These martyrs in verses 9, 10, and 11 are asking for the vengeance that Romans 12 has promised. Don't you do your own avenging. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. This is not popular preaching. Ours is an easy day of great comfort and God is a God of mercy and goodness and grace and love and forgiveness. He is that. He is also, to complete the picture of his character, just and holy and wrath. And they cry for that on behalf of those whose lives have been taken. It's a very sobering thought. I'll never forget the day I read that the martyrs of the 20th century outnumber all the martyrs of the 1st through the 19th in the sum of all those. Imagine. This will be a day of enormous martyrdom, but there will be vengeance. It seems as though it opens the door to the 6th seal back in Revelation 6, verse 12. I looked when he broke the 6th seal. Now watch closely. You've never heard of anything like this in your life, in your lifetime. There was, the Greek says, a seismos megas. We've pretty well got those words down. Seismograph, seismographic, a shaking. See the 7th verse or the 13th verse, the figs were shaken. Sio is the Greek verb, and seismos comes from that root. It's translated earthquake. There was a mega shaking. This is the big one. If you were in California, you would probably heave a sigh of relief since you're thinking it's going to come tomorrow. Big ones may come, but not like this one. This is the mega seismos. There was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth made of hair. What does that mean? In the old days, sackcloth was worn by mourners. It's thick, rough fabric and black because it was made from the black wool of sheep, and coarse because it represents that which is painful, harsh. He's saying that the sun is eclipsed. John's not a scientist. This is the only way he knows to put it. It's as if you were to put a book or a piece of thick cloth between yourself and the sun and then try to see the sun. It blocks it out. And then he describes the moon becoming like blood. The ash that comes from the volcanic eruptions that are a part of this enormous earth shaking will pass across the skies and blot out, even discolor the normal color of the moon. I did check with one scientist who describes the scene, Dr. Henry Morris, from his book, The Revelation Record. The great earthquake described here for the first time in history is worldwide in scope. Seismologists and geophysicists in recent years have learned a great deal about the structure of the earth and about the cause and nature of earthquakes. The earth's solid crust is traversed with a complex network of faults, with all resting upon a plastic mantle whose structure is still largely unknown. Whether the crust consists of great moving plates is a current matter of controversy among geophysicists. So the ultimate cause of earthquakes is still not known. In all likelihood, the entire complex of crustal instabilities is a remnant of the phenomena of the Great Flood, especially the breakup of the fountains of the Great Deep. In any case, the vast worldwide network of unstable earthquake belts around the world suddenly will begin to slip and fracture on a global basis, and a gigantic earthquake will ensue. This is evidently and naturally accompanied by tremendous volcanic explosions spewing vast quantities of dust and steam and gases into the upper atmosphere. It is probably these that will cause the sun to be darkened and the moon to appear blood red.
Well, there's much more about the tribulation period we'll be discovering in Revelation chapter 6. Chuck Swindoll titled today's message, and the one that continues next time, More Seals Broken, More Lives Shaken and Taken. To learn more about this ministry, visit us online at insight.org. Have you ever written a personal comment to the team here at Insight for Living and wondered what happened with your note? Well, I want you to know we read every single comment. In fact, your feedback truly makes our day because this ministry is designed just for you. There's a common question that's been showing up. Listeners are wondering, Chuck, are we living in the end times? And given the turmoil today, that's a natural question. The Bible is clear we can't know the day of Jesus' return, but it's also clear that those who follow Jesus have nothing to fear. If you find yourself turning off the TV because the news reports are too upsetting, let me recommend a classic booklet that Chuck wrote just for you. It's titled with a question, How Can I Win Over Worry? We believe the biblical principles in this booklet will become your strategic guide for finally putting your worry to rest. We'd love to send you a copy of How Can I Win Over Worry when you make a donation to support the ministry of Insight for Living. To request your copy, call us. If you're listening in the U.S., give us a call at 800-772-8888. Or you can give online at insight.org/donate. Finally, there's another thing that might settle your nerves, and that's attending the worship service with us on Sunday mornings. This isn't a substitute for your church attendance, but a complement to your own worship experience. Through this online video stream, you can celebrate with Chuck Swindoll by viewing the worship service at Stonebriar Community Church. This not only includes Chuck's full-length sermon, but the sacred music and congregational singing as well. You can find all the instructions for video streaming at insight.org/Sundays. I'm Bill Meyer, inviting you to join us next time when Chuck Swindoll continues his study in the Book of Revelation on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, More Seals Broken, More Lives Shaken and Taken, was copyrighted in 2003, 2006, and 2024. And the sound recording was copyrighted in 2024 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.